After receiving troublesome, life-changing news, Heidi Jo Falk knew God was teaching her an important lesson.
He was merciful to give us this huge thing right at the start of our marriage to say, your dependence is going to be on me, and I am more than sufficient.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Waldenbooth, co-author of You Can Trust God to Write Your Story. For April 15th, 2021, I'm Dana Gresh. You don't have to trust God as much when things are easy, do you? When life is going the way you planned, the way you dreamed. But sometimes our lives take unexpected twists and turns. Here's one from my life. It's kind of a silly one, but I thought I was going to marry a blonde-haired, blue-eyed fella. If you've met Bob Gresh, he's tall, dark, and handsome. At least in my heart, I think he's tall, dark, and handsome.
So that was a happy surprise.
That was a happy surprise. But, you know, there are sometimes shifts and changes and devastations that we didn't expect, and we can trust God then, can't we?
Yeah, and the fact is we need to trust God all the time, even when things are going according to what we thought or expected or planned. But it's when our plans are turned upside down and inside out that we find out whether we really are trusting Him. And I watched you and that tall, dark, handsome husband of yours go through in the last year, finding out that your son and his wife were expecting their first child, you thought, turned out to be two children. And
two
so that was such a happy, thrilling thing for you and Bob and for Robbie and Aaliyah. But then you discovered that there were some issues and Aaliyah had to have a lot of waiting and stillness and quiet in the hospital before the delivery. And then those children were born with, well, it just wasn't the easiest thing.
No.
And your worlds got turned topsy-turvy. They're beautiful, healthy babies now, but there was a time when guys were holding your breath and saying, what's God doing here?
And we all have those times. We all have those times and we're saying, God, I didn't see this one coming. And if I could choose it, I wish it wasn't here. But we have to make the choice. Do we trust Him to write our stories? And our guest today has a wonderful testimony that has encouraged me, and I think it will encourage you as you listen, that she chose to trust God when there was an unexpected twist in her journey. We're going to talk to Heidi Jo Falk. Welcome to the program, Heidi.
Thanks so much, Dana and Nancy. It's so good to have this opportunity to talk with you both.
Heidi is a member of our blogging team here at Revive Our Hearts, and you and your husband, Dan, live in Michigan with four children, and you lead the women's ministry in your church. Is that right?
That's correct.
Anything else we should know about you? What are the important things?
Also, as a part of my job as the women's ministry director, my most greatest joy is teaching women the Bible. And I do that and have done that for several years now with a partner. And coming to women and opening God's word is definitely my heart and passion.
Mm. And teaching has always been your heart and passion because as a college student, you trained to be a teacher. Is that elementary school teacher?
That's right. I even got to do my student teaching with my own first grade teacher.
The woman who taught you first grade.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, yes.
Wow.
And the first day going into the teacher's lounge, I was so the kid again. I was like, I can't believe I'm allowed in here. This is so cool. So
was it the same school where you went to school?
Yes, yes, yes.
How fun is that?
And then that teacher got to tell our students stories about when I had been a student, and it turned out to be a really fun exchange that we got to have.
That had to be sweet for her.
I think it was a joy and encouragement to her to know, hey, this person that I poured into how many years ago is now.
She can actually read.
Now she's going to teach. I love that.
Did you always want to be a teacher? When did you decide, I'm going to be a teacher?
Yes, I am a classic firstborn girl, and
let me guess, because I am too. When you were a kid, did you play school and you had to be the teacher?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Give me five.
And I'm the oldest. I just have one younger brother, but I'm the oldest of all my cousins, so I made them come to my classroom in the basement, and I taught them, and I had always just taken any opportunity to be the student tutor or any
anything like that, mm-hmm. I wanted to be in those teaching roles. So that was my dream. I know that a lot, except in the fourth grade for about 6 months, I wanted to be an astronaut, and then I got out of that.
Back to teaching.
Back to teaching. So every opportunity that I had to teach or to walk towards teaching, I did that. And so that was my dream forever, was to be not only a teacher, but to be a first grade teacher and to be married and be a mom. And those were the dreams that I was walking towards as I was in college and after.
So it all looked pretty good. You were newly married and you were about to start your first job as a first grade teacher, your lifelong dream. Tell us about those first few days of being a first grade teacher.
I was absolutely ecstatic. I could not believe that I had it was a brand new school building on top of everything else. So it was literally my own classroom and my bulletin board and my desk. And I was just overjoyed to welcome 24 children into my classroom. And I was so excited to be teaching and telling my husband about it every night as I came home. And at the same time, I was expecting, because even in college, when you are in an education program, they pretty much warn you that you're going to, especially that first year of teaching, you're going to probably pick up anything that the kids bring in, whatever cold, whatever sickness, whatever they have, you're going to get that first year until you build up your immunity. So I was having headaches all the time and thinking, all right, this makes sense. I'm doing a job full time for the first time. It's new. While it was joyful, there were also stresses. And we were in a brand new building, so weird smells and other environmental things were going on. So I didn't think it was altogether strange that I was having headaches every single day. And they were often accompanied by nausea. So, I'd only been married less than 18 months at that point. So I thought, maybe I'm pregnant. So I took pregnancy tests and I was not pregnant. And then I thought, maybe I'm not having enough caffeine. So I started drinking more Coca-Cola in the afternoons after school and still having headaches. So because my husband had just started his job as well, our insurance had not kicked in yet. When it did finally kick in, I called the primary care physician we'd been assigned to say, can I come in and find out why I've been having headaches? And they said, sure, you can come in 6 months. So that wasn't going to work. So we literally called the emergency room to say, can we come in? This isn't really an emergency, but that was kind of before urgent cares. Mm-hmm. Can we come in and find out, does she have some kind of virus or something? What can you do to help? My wife made my husband be the one to call. And we went in that day to the emergency room. And thankfully, we had a doctor that thought the worst. And she said, you've been having headaches every day. You're only 23. We're going to think you have a brain tumor and we're going to give you a CAT scan. And I thought, yeah, she literally said that to me. And I thought she was completely insane. I'm like, I'm around 24 little kids every day. Give me some medicine and send me home. And it was actually that CAT scan did not show exactly what was going on. It showed that the ventricles in my brain were enlarged. There was too much fluid in my brain. So then I got into the doctor real quick, didn't have to wait that 6 months, and they sent me in for an MRI. And that MRI revealed that there was a 2.5-centimeter tumor in the dead center of my brain in my pineal gland that was blocking the movement of all of the fluid in my brain. And that's why I was having the headaches, and that's why I had the nausea. And the doctor, who had only met one time so she could order the MRI, called me on the phone to tell me that information, that I had a tumor.
You were at home when you got the call?
I was. I actually, my husband and I went to the Naval Academy, and he was on the football team. We had gone down to watch him in a football game. When we came home, I went to church to audition for a Christmas play. And while I was there, my husband got the message, just on our answering machine, that I was supposed to call the doctor. When I came home from that audition, I did call the doctor, and sitting on our couch, she let me know that information while my husband sat beside me. And after I got off the phone, you know, he had heard bits and pieces, and I explained it to him. I was scheduled to go see a neurologist the next day. She said, no, you need to go to a neurosurgeon because you're going to need to have this removed. We called each set of our parents.
So what was the atmosphere like at that moment? Were you guys panicked? Were you...
Yeah, and I'm kind of famous, especially in my younger years. Thankfully, the Lord has refined me, but I'm kind of famous for big overreactions. But in that moment, the Lord was already saying to me, I have entrusted this tumor to you.
Hmm.
And as overwhelming and as scary as parts of the next few days and weeks and months were, I had a very sure sense from that very first moment of that phone call that God was going to use that to shape us. As we, you know, as we shared that news with our parents, and then we called our pastor that we had only been going to that church for about 8 months and let them know the news so that we could get people praying. We just knew that we were going to need that team of people praying around us, and praise God that he gave us so many people that did pray us through that.
Before you tell us more about your journey, mm-hmm. I'm wondering, what prepared you to have that kind of a response? What happened in your life leading up to that that would make you have this sense of peace and this sense of really right away choosing to trust God?
I became a believer at a very young age when I was 5, and my faith was very shallow and very surface for most of my life. And then when I went to college, I began to be taught the word, and I went to a Christian college, so I began to be taught the word in a new way, and I began realizing the breadth and depth of God's word in a new way. But I also began to realize my responsibility to live it out. Whether or not I had been equipped to do that through my family, or, and I do have a believing family and parents, and I praise God for that. But even if I hadn't been equipped in every way by my church that I grew up in, or by my family, I still have a responsibility to live out the truth of God's word, mm-hmm. and to believe the truth of God's word, whether or not I've been given everything I think that I need human-wise to live that out.
Of course, it's sometimes that it's the crisis that God uses to help us learn how to live it out.
Yes.
If you never have any adverse circumstances, you don't have to learn to trust God in quite the same way that you do as when you get that kind of medical report.
Right. And realizing, you know, I had been a pretty successful student. I had, you know, been with my husband. We started dating when we were 15. So I'd kind of had the guy settled. I had had my, you know, like I said, I've been wanting to be a teacher since I was a little girl. I had the job settled. I had the husband settled. I thought that this was going, you know, how my life was going to look was happening, was mm-hmm. that those things were happening. And then to get this news where I was not in control of the situation. Mm. I wasn't the bossy, oldest sibling, cousin, all of those things. I was fully and wholly dependent on God. And I also, at that time, because it was so early in our marriage, what I thought about what marriage looked like was about to be shaped in all kinds of ways from that dependence on God, but also a dependence that I was about to have on my husband, both physically and mentally and spiritually.
Mm. So tell us about that, because, you know, I think even when we're in difficult times, when our life stories take a plot twist, mm-hmm. and we choose to trust God, it doesn't take away the pain of the process. So how did it impact your marriage, your job, your dreams?
So as we began to, my surgery was scheduled for just 2 weeks after we got the news about my tumor. And so just the practical working out of, you know, that meant I had to get a long-term sub. That meant that my husband was going to have to take time off work. That meant we were going to have to figure out insurance stuff and all of those things. And God worked miraculously in many ways, bringing a substitute teacher that had gone to the same college that I had gone to be my substitute teacher, bringing a boss into my husband's life that said, at any time he went to work, said, go home, be with Heidi, and a doctor who was one of only two doctors in Michigan at that time who was able to get into the place in my brain where my tumor was. And that was what my HMO assigned me to, was one of these two doctors.
Are you saying you can trust God to write your story?
Yeah, a little bit.
You know, but I want to say, though, that I'm not sure you always see those miracles when you're not trusting God. It's so much easier to have blinders on to see the miracles because you're focused on what's wrong and what's hurting. And when you choose to trust God, he gives you the eyes to see how he is at work, Dana, that painful time.
Mm-hmm. It's really true. And I can tell you that, you know, at that, I was 23. I was still working out not only our marriage, but also my own faith and what our family was going to look like. And I did have some doubts about God, and I did have doubts about how we were going to live that out. And he was merciful to give us this huge thing right at the start of our marriage to say, your dependence is going to be on me, and I am more than sufficient. I am more than able. And you are going to find this in your work life. You are going to find this in your marriage. You are going to find this in your family. And I am going to be more than enough for you. What a kindness that God gave me that. I mean, I could have found that out and other ways, or I could have not found that out. But he was merciful to give me this tumor in the center of my brain that was going to be able to keep my dependence on him in all kinds of ways.
Of course, you're seeing that he was merciful as you look now through the rearview mirror.
Sure.
So when you're in the middle of this, you couldn't see then what you can see now.
No.
That this was a kindness of the Lord, that this was a mercy of the Lord. And I think that's something important for us to remember when we're in the crisis, is there will come a day when I will be able to look back and see in the rearview mirror what I can't see today. Mm-hmm. And all I have at that moment is raw, naked faith that what I can't see, God does see. Mm-hmm. What I don't know, he does know. Mm-hmm. And so through the tears, through the mystery, through the uncertainty, your testimony now in retrospect is something that can help us when we're in the middle of it. To say, I've heard this story from this Heidi woman who talked on Revive Our Hearts, and she's now saying this was a mercy. Mm-hmm. This was a kindness of God. Mm-hmm. And I think for us to be able to remind ourselves, the day will come when I will see about my current circumstance that this too was a merciful work and a kind act of God in my life.
Yes. And in the midst of it, just taking each step and each part of what God is revealing to you, and but knowing that hope of mercy and knowing that hope of purpose is out there, I think gives you a lot more fuel to take those little steps and to reset your perspective.
You mentioned that you had dreams about being a wife, and that was being hit by this battle with a brain tumor. You had dreams to be a teacher. That was impacted. Mm-hmm. You're taken out of the classroom for a time. What about your dreams of becoming a mother? What kind of fears or impact did you experience as a result of this?
Yeah, so one of the big things that happened was after I had my original surgery and they removed the tumor and it was benign, my brain did not relearn how to move fluid. So a month after my original surgery, I had a shunt implanted. And the shunt drains fluid from my brain through my abdomen and lands in my abdomen. So when we first found out about this shunt, I was asking questions like, is this going to be
preventing me from, even though I realize the baby isn't actually in your belly, it's still in that general area. Is this going to prevent me from having children? No, but we do want you to wait about a year before you would try to get pregnant, because we just want to, even though it was benign, we want to make sure your tumor's not going to come back. So, you know, after about a month after my surgery, I did go back to the classroom. And then a year after my surgery, we did get cleared. The tumor had not come back. My shunt was working correctly. And they cleared us to go ahead and start trying to get pregnant. And mercifully, God provided a yes answer for a child that very first month. But we found out about 9 weeks into that pregnancy that we had lost that baby. Mm-hmm. And going through the loss of our first child, especially just a little over a year after my surgery, was incredibly difficult. Mm-hmm. As much mercy and grace and peace as I had felt and received from the Lord during that brain tumor season, I was not feeling that at the loss of that child. Mm-hmm. In fact, I felt responsible, because I thought that there was something that I didn't learn in that trial. There was something that I didn't do correctly, and that's why God chose to take my child, because I didn't learn something, which was a complete lie, which thankfully I had friends around me, and I confessed that fear to one of my dear friends who spoke truth to me and love and compassion to me, that that was not a punishment from God. But it was another opportunity for me to realize my great dependence on God. Mm. I was not controlling my health. I was not controlling my marriage. And now I was not controlling my motherhood. I was realizing in more ways every day that God was absolutely in control and could glorify himself in me in any way he chose. Not in the way that I may have pictured, but in any way that he chose.
Were you tempted at any points to resent the choices God was making in your life?
Not resent, but feel sorry for myself. Mm-hmm. The practical realities of life that I had to, you know, endure because of the brain tumor and things like that, just the physical ramifications. And then now physical ramifications from a miscarriage, and then wondering if I was going to be going through a season of infertility. That I was just feeling sorry for myself. Like, hey, I had a good attitude about a brain tumor. Why aren't you giving me a baby? Just feeling sorry for myself. Not so much resentment, but just, hey, I've already done a hard thing. Why another one?
And how did the Lord walk you through that process of coming to trust his goodness and his faithfulness and his wisdom with a story that made no sense to you?
Well, in his mercy, he gave me some friends and his word to start shaping my mind. So the very first time I was ever going to share my testimony about my brain tumor was just 2 days after I had found out that I had lost my baby.
Wow.
And I could have, even though I had to come back, you know, I'm not saying that this night solved everything and I moved on from there. In fact, the guilt trip conversation that I just talked about happened after this. But I learned a very, very important truth, that speaking God's truth, even when I don't feel like it, is a very powerful thing. So I chose to still give my testimony because I was learning a very important truth, that declaring God's goodness and truth, even when I don't feel like it, is essential in my walk as a believer. I had planned on using verses from 1 Peter 1, and I still read these verses with that baby who was not alive in my body. I stood up and said, "You rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief and trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which, though perishable, is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." those verses were still true, even though I had that very great loss of our first child. The truth of the various trials that we had gone through with my brain tumor. And now, and it seems like that was a short time. And now with another trial, even in the midst of another trial, God was still good. He was still working his glory through me and in me. And I knew that it was essential for me to declare that. Mm.
Wow, Heidi Jo, there is such strength in your voice as I hear you tell this story.
And such a powerful principle that we've seen in our lives and heard from so many other women, the power of declaring the truth about God, His Word, His ways, when your emotions are screaming exactly the opposite. Mm-hmm. It's, we often say here at Revive Our Hearts, counseling our hearts according to truth. And it's saying, I affirm that what God says is true. I'm going to reject the lies. I'm going to proclaim His faithfulness and His goodness when my life feels like it's exactly the opposite. Mm-hmm. And you've just illustrated so beautifully the power of the truth to set us free. Now, there's more to this story. And Dana, we're going to pick that up tomorrow with Heidi.
And I think, Nancy, this is a really good time to pause and just each of us ask our own hearts, whatever hard things we're in right now, wherever the story doesn't look the way we had planned, or whatever disappointment we're experiencing, are we choosing to open God's word and proclaim the truth despite how we feel?
Lord, you are faithful. You are good. You don't make mistakes. You love me. You are wise. I think sometimes just needing to say those things or do as Heidi did and declare the scripture that these present sufferings and trials will produce a good fruit in me. I mean, I feel that, but to say it, even if I don't feel it, until I do believe it.
And you know, I think one of the greatest opportunities we have to glorify God is when we are hurting, because it's easy to glorify Him with our lips when everything's going well. But let us choose right now, in the face of whatever's not going well, to proclaim His goodness. Heidi Jo Falk, thank you for teaching us to trust God when life doesn't go as expected. This conversation, it certainly highlighted the importance of counseling our hearts in truth, even when it's difficult to believe. Of course, that reminds me of heaven rules. It's a phrase from Scripture, one Nancy says pretty often. And it's a promise of hope that we can cling to in the face of trials and difficulties. When the world feels out of control and it just doesn't seem like God is near, we can speak the truth to our hearts that heaven rules. One way for you to remind yourself and those around you of this promise is through the new Heaven Rules note cards from Revive Our Hearts. Each card in the set is inscribed with a verse and a message of encouragement from Nancy. Because sometimes we just need to see truth written down as a visual reminder when we're struggling to believe God. And of course, in that note card, you're going to get to add your own personal encouragement to each friend or family member you send one to. This set of 12 note cards, it's just our way to remember the comfort and joy found in the Lord, no matter what circumstances you're facing. You can get the Heaven Rules note cards right now when you make a donation of any amount to Revive Our Hearts. We're going to send them to you as our way of saying thanks for your gift to this ministry. Visit reviveourhearts.com or call us right now at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Well, just like Nancy said earlier, Heidi Jo will be back with us tomorrow to share the rest of her story. We're going to hear how God used it to reach other women and how He gave Heidi Jo a passion for teaching His word. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wohlgemuth encourages you to trust God in the middle of your story. This program is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.